this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. American families are seeing their first monthly checks as a result of the historic expansion of the child tax credit pushed by President Biden. The expansion in March means families will now be eligible to receive up to $300 a month per child. It could have a major impact on the child poverty rate nationwide. A study published by the Center on Poverty and Social Policy at Columbia University found, if successful, the policy could cut the childhood poverty rate by nearly 45%. So joining Cincinnati Edition to talk about the child tax credit are Center on Poverty and Social Policy at Columbia University Research Director Sophie Collier. Sophie, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
We also have with us Policy Matters Ohio budget researcher Will Petrick. Will, welcome to you as well.
Thanks, Michael.
513-419-7100 is our number if you'd like to join our conversation or email your thoughts to talk@wvxu.org. Sophie, let's start with you because this study seems rather significant. The expansion of this child tax credit did a few important things. It, for example, stopped this payment from being an annual thing to being monthly. Can you talk about how these, what seem like rather subtle changes, can impact childhood poverty rates in this country so dramatically?
Sure. It's a great question. So there were three large changes to the child tax credit that were put into effect under the American Rescue Plan. As you said, it stipulated that the credit be delivered monthly in installments of up to $300, depending on the age of the child and income levels. It also made the credit fully refundable. And what that means is there was the child tax credit proceeded, you know, has been a credit actually in place since the late 90s, but it was not fully refundable. So you couldn't receive the maximum value of the credit until your income reached a certain level. So immediately preceding the American Rescue Plan, it was $2,000 per child, but a family with two children, a married family with two children, needed about $34,000 in earnings to qualify for the full credit. And because of that, one in three children in the United States were ineligible for the full CTC because their families didn't earn enough to qualify. So the American Rescue Plan switched that, made it fully refundable. So families are eligible, low-income families in particular, are eligible regardless of their income levels.
No, that's okay. I definitely want you to continue explaining all of this to us because you know it so well. But I just wanted to point out how struck I was by the idea that there are poor families who were not benefiting from this in any way. And I suppose if you're not paying into the tax system, that there's math involved on why you're not benefiting. But this just changed that. Is that arguably the more significant change here as it relates to the nationwide childhood poverty rate?
Yeah, that's the reason we're seeing these large impacts. We've seen, done some studies looking at, you know, what if you just increase credit values but maintain these earnings requirements, and you're not going to see the same reductions in child poverty if you don't have the credit be fully refundable.
And so what type of family are we talking about when we talk about the lowest of income earners? What type of numbers are we talking about?
Well, there are lots of different ways, you know, that you can measure low-income status or poverty. But if we think about what the poverty measure is, that's a helpful, I think, way to ground the conversation. And so, for example, in Ohio, the poverty threshold, which is the amount of like money above or below which you are determined if you're in poverty or not. But for a family of four in your Cincinnati district, it's about $26,000, right? So one in 10 children in Ohio were in a family that had resources or incomes, including, you know, earning income from earnings and various sources, that was below that threshold. And with this type of expansion to the CTC, we see that the poverty rate in Ohio could fall by actually about 48% just with this type of policy specifically. And it, again, that's contingent on it reaching everyone who's eligible.
Let's bring in Will Petrick. He's budget researcher at Policy Matters Ohio. Will, talk about the impact of this on Ohio families as you potentially see it at this point.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think there's three big impacts. The expanded tax credit will put more money in the pockets of families. There's a what's called the Household Pulse Survey, and they're asking families about their quality of life right now, particularly during and through the pandemic. And so the recent data there, 264,000 adults in Ohio reported that children in their household were not eating enough because they couldn't afford enough food. So this additional resources could be a game changer for those families. These families will have additional resources to help with food, diapers, safe housing, healthcare, and other basic family expenses. This is also a big deal for Ohio families. You know, we talk a lot about how it will reduce childhood poverty. I think the other thing that isn't talked about as much is, you know, this is really going to improve the health and well-being of children and families. So, you know, part of the research shows that when kids are living in deep poverty, it compromises their ability to learn and grow and to, you know, develop in healthy ways. So there's brain science that really shows, you know, children's brains develop fastest from birth to age 3, and their relationships with their parents, with caregivers, their early experiences, both positive and negative, really build the foundation of the brain architecture for kids. So if their parents are stressed, trying to figure out whether they're going to be able to pay for food or pay for medicine, that stress is going to impact babies and their brain development. And so when we invest in kids and families, you know, it actually improves outcomes. So there's a lot of research out there that shows, you know, kids are healthier, they get better grades in school, they have higher college enrollment rates, they earn more across their lifetime. Also from a societal perspective, you know, kids are less likely to engage in criminal activity or go to prison or get involved with the child welfare system. So again, when we as a society prioritize the health and well-being of kids and families now, we all benefit in the future by spending less on those, you know, healthcare costs, child welfare, criminal justice system costs. The other thing that I think is really important for Ohioans to understand is, you know, this child tax credit expansion, it's going to, again, be a boost for families. It's going to help improve the well-being of kids. It's also going to boost our local economy. My colleague, Mike Shields, highlights that 5 of the 10 most common jobs in the Cincinnati metro area paid so little that a family of 3 needed food assistance to get by. So these monthly direct cash payments over the next 6 months, again, they're going to give parents and caregivers more purchasing power to pay for the basics. They'll be able to pay for car repairs, for childcare, groceries, and other monthly bills. So
let me ask you, because you mentioned these jobs that people are working full time and are still needing assistance just to feed their families. And you know, we're having this conversation just as in the past few weeks, we've watched billionaires launch themselves into space, which I don't know of a more appropriate illustration for the economic disparities that this country witnesses. I'm wondering, Will, what you might have learned over the past year plus since the economy was forcibly shut down due to COVID-19 and the government sprung into action. Money was sent directly to Americans and money was sent in different ways, oftentimes depending on what your family situation was. Have we learned the impact of assistance to people who may not have been receiving it previously, or more assistance on top of that?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that we've learned, I work for Policy Matters Ohio. Policy really does matter during a pandemic, during a recession, during a public health crisis. You know, those stimulus checks helped families get by. You know, just in Ohio, since the beginning of the pandemic, there have been over 3 million claims for unemployment. And that's more than the last 5 years combined. And I think one of the things from a policy perspective, you know, there's a lot of argument around, you know, this is all about personal responsibility and people just need to work harder. But what we're seeing is that plenty of people, again, are working 40 hours a week or more, and they still have to rely on food assistance, on Medicaid, on other social programs. And so, one, we've seen that this additional cash can really benefit families and kids. As you said, July 15th, just a week ago, was kind of the first checks that were sent out. So we're looking forward to really seeing the impact that this is going to have on kids and families. Tax policy isn't typically like a thing that a lot of families get psyched about, but I did read recently that, TikTok is going wild right now with families who are getting checks and talking about how this is really going to benefit their kids and their families.
Let's ask a similar question to Sophie Collier, who is also with us. She is with the Center on Poverty and Social Policy at Columbia University, where she is research director. Sophie, what have we learned over the past year plus, do you think, as it relates to lifting up families and making sure that people are taken care of?
Yeah, I think what Will said is exactly on the point, that this past year has shown the impact that government policy can have, and really, steadying incomes across time, across periods of instability. But I also think it is, we've zeroed in more on economic instability in the past year because it's been front and center. But these problems largely preceded the pandemic. The pandemic exacerbated many inequalities and a lot of financial instability that was longstanding. And so I think as we move forward, it's not only thinking about how these policies worked in an emergency situation, but the fact that families have been facing emergency situations all the time and for years. And before the pandemic, about 10 million children in the United States lived in poverty. So if we want a long-term solution to that, these types of policies need to go beyond the current moment.
Well, I know that you had talked previously that there were concerns last year about whether low-income people in Ohio or people who had no income, people who had no bank accounts, would be able to get their stimulus checks from the federal stimuluses related to COVID relief. Do you have similar concerns as it relates to this child tax credit?
Yeah, we definitely have concerns that particularly families who most need additional resources may not currently be getting those automatic payments. So these are people who maybe didn't receive the stimulus checks. These are folks who, again, have very low or no income. They might participate in the SNAP, the Food Assistance Program, or TANF, or Medicaid. Many might not have access to broadband or internet access. There was a big debate statewide about this recently, but over 1 million Ohioans lack access to broadband. These might also be folks without homes who may not have an address. So, there's definitely families who will likely need to get additional assistance to get connected to the credit and get connected to that additional cash assistance. And so this is going to require, additional education and outreach efforts.
Another concern, Sophie, of course, is that this isn't yet permanent, right? This added benefit?
Yes, that's correct. It's just in place through the end of the year. So monthly payments will be paid out every month through December. And then the remainder of the, annual credit value will be paid at tax time.
But there is an effort, I guess, underway to make this permanent.
Yes, there is an effort underway, and it's also part of the American Families Plan, which was the kind of human capital infrastructure plan released by the Biden administration that addresses both childcare costs. It extends the CTC expansion and includes some other policies directed at families and children.
So when you're producing a study that suggests childhood poverty rate in this country could be cut by nearly 45% from this tax credit alone, more so with other stimulus benefits that have been administered across the country, what do you know about what happens on the other side of this if this isn't made permanent?
Yeah, if this isn't made permanent, then we're going back to normal, which isn't, a great return in this case. We will continue to have a very high rate of child poverty. It's one of the highest among wealthy nations, and that will be where we remain until intervention again takes place.
And I guess that would be cause for concern for some of the families that you're familiar with, Will, in Ohio?
Yeah. Sophie mentioned, you know, going back to quote normal. And I think the norm right now is that a certain state and federal lawmakers have really chosen to rig the tax rules and shift resources away from Black and brown communities, away from poor and working class Ohioans, and toward the wealthy and well-connected. And so that's really been the norm. And my hope coming out of this pandemic and with the opportunity to pass the American Families Act is that we make this child tax credit permanent. And so, you know, I'm going to encourage your listeners to talk with your congresspeople, talk with Senator Portman and Senator Brown, and highlight why this is important for you and your family. Because, yeah, as Sophie mentioned, this is only temporary right now. The other thing that I think is important for your listeners to know is, you know, we ought to learn lessons from past policy choices. So, you know, when I think about what did we do in response to the Great Recession during 2008 and 2009, and in that case, you know, federal lawmakers failed to provide ongoing support to people, to kids, to families, and lawmakers really cut taxes again that benefited the wealthy and large corporations. And what we saw in Ohio was a slow, tough recovery. And so, again, this is why we're calling on President Biden and Congress to make sure the expanded child tax credit is made permanent.
And I guess our listeners, in addition to those Congress folks, could talk directly to President Biden today, since he happens to be in town. I want to thank our guest who discussed the child tax credit with us today, Center on Poverty and Social Policy at Columbia University, Research Director Sophie Collier, and Policy Matters Ohio Budget Researcher Will Petrick. Sophie, Will, thank you so much for the time you gave us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks, Michael.
And a reminder to keep your eye on the roads today as President Biden is set to arrive this afternoon at one of our airports. You can expect the highways to be shut down at some point, so you might want to make alternative plans on your afternoon commute. We'll have it covered at WVXU.org and here on 91.7 FM as the president visits Cincinnati. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Technical director, Josh Elstro. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.